All right, so we'll say good morning. We left off on Mem Amud Aleph. Again, today's shiur is sponsored in honor of our veterans. With gratitude for service, today's Veterans Day, and we thank all of those who have served in the armed forces throughout the history of this country, incredible sacrifices they made. And Halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just give them siyata d'shmaya to be successful in all of their endeavors. But most importantly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about an era of peace, finally with the arrival of Mashiach, and the veterans, the standing armies, will no longer be necessary, and peace will prevail upon mankind. Okay, so we left off, I will say, on top of Mem Amud Aleph. Good, Itmar. So we'll say we're still in the sugya of, bathing on Shabbos. I jumped ahead a little bit yesterday in showing you the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Vav Sif Aleph, but we'll fill in the rest of the blanks today. Itmar Chamet Shuch Mume Erev Shabbos. If you have water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, Rav Amar Rav says L'mocha Roche Itzpon Kol Gufo. So Rav says the next day, meaning on Shabbos itself, one is permitted to go ahead and wash their entire body, aver, limb by limb. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says Lo Hitiru Lirchot El Aponav Yodav Viraglov. On the other hand, Shmuel says no. That even with water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, you could only wash your hands, your face, and your feet. Meisvei. So the Gemara raises a kasha. Look at watching the rest of it. Meisvei. Chamet shuchmum Erev Shabbos. So the Braisa says that if you have water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, l'machar roch itzpohen panav yodav viraglov. On the next day, you may go ahead and wash your hands, your face, and your feet. Avalo kol gufo. But you may not go ahead and wash your entire body. So the Gemara says to you of the Derav. So you see again, this is a stira, this is a refutation of Rav. Because remember, Rav just said before that what? That if you have water, that you have water that was warmed up on Shabbos itself, you are permitted to wash your entire body, gufo, aver. Amul Charav, lo kol gufo bevas achos, ela aver. So Rav says, no. You know what the Braisa means to tell you? The Braisa means to tell you that you can't wash your whole body at once. But you can wash what? You can wash limb by limb. I bet the Gemara says that what the Braisa says. V'ha'ponav yodav viraglov katoni. I bet Rav, nice try. But the Braisa does say ponav yodav viraglov, to which the Gemara says ke'ein ponav yodav viraglov. So Rav explains what the Mishnah means, what the Braisa means is like your hands, face, and feet. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says ke'ein ponav kilomar kol aver bifne atzmo. So according to Rav, what the Braisa means to say is like this, that if you have water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, you may wash your body, your entire body, like panav yodav viraglov. What does that mean? That just like you wash panav yodav viraglov one at a time, so too you may wash the rest of your body one limb at a time. Alright, so the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Tashma, lo itiru lichotz b'chamet shuchma me'erev Shabbos, Ela panav yadav viraglov. So again, another braisa. The rabbi is only permitted a person to wash on Shabbos with water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, but only permitted to wash their hands, I should say in order, face, hands, and feet. So I, Rav, what do you do with this? Hachanami panav ke'ein panav yadav viraglov. So Rav will again explain the braisa in the same way. When the braisa says panav yodav raglav, it does not mean to limit your washing to only your hands, face, and feet. But rather, it means you can wash the entire body but one limb at a time. Tanya chavase de Shmuel. So now the Gemara quotes a braisa according to us. Remember, Rav says Shmuel was the one who holds that halacha l'maaseh, if you have water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, you may only wash panav yodav viraglav. So tanya chavase de Shmuel. Chanin shuchmu me'erev Shabbos. If you have water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, l'machar rochitz bohen panav yodav viraglov, aval lo kol gufo, aver. Right? So the Gemara says the following. So now this braisa explicitly supports Shmuel, that if you have water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself you are permitted to go ahead and wash your face, hands and feet, but not your entire body, even limb by limb. This explicitly supports Shmuel. The ein tzarich lomar, and it goes without saying, or it need not be said, chamin shehuchmu b'yom tov. So the Gemara says the fine Shabbosai, this is how we paskin legabi Shabbos. You saw this yesterday already, like Shmuel. that if you have water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, you are permitted to go ahead and wash your hands, your face, and your feet, but you would not be permitted to wash your body, even ever, ever, even limb by limb. Rabba, masni la lahashmaita dirav, b'hai lishna. So Rabba taught this statement of Rav using the following lashon. Chamin shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos. If you have water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, lemachar, on the next day on Shabbos, Amar Rav, Rav says, rochitz bohen kol gufo, you can wash your entire body, u'meshayer ever echot. But Rav says, you must leave one part of your body unwashed. Right? So now again, this is a little bit different, because until now, we were saying that Rav holds that you could wash your entire body, you just can't do it at once, you have to do it aver. Now, according to Rabba's approach, Rabba understands that Rav does not allow for an entire body washing, even aver, but he holds you could wash limb by limb, but you have to leave one limb unwashed. You can't wash your entire body. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Esvei kol hani tiyufta. Right, so the Gemara raises, now the Gemara goes back, and interestingly enough, sometimes the Gemara brings a different girsa of a particular opinion. The Gemara goes back and revisits all of the questions that were raised. Here the Gemara does not do that. Here what the Gemara says simply is, Esvei kohani. The Gemara raises all of the contradictions that were just raised before. Right, the two brachos that we just quoted before, look at Rashi, Esvei kohani, Veleka lishanuye, Kain panav yadav viraglov. The ha kol gufo yachad kamar chutz me ever echad. So I will say, here's what's interesting, is that the Gemara says that, remember, we raised all the contradictions before on Rav. Rav said in the first time around that alochalamais you could wash your entire body, just ever, do it limb by limb. So he quoted all of the brisos, two brisos that said that if you warm up water on Erev Shabbos, you can only wash panav yadav araglav. And we raised those brisos as a contradiction to Rav. How did we resolve the contradiction according to Rav? That when it says, it means you can wash your entire body, but what? You have to do it like panav yadav araglav, meaning one limb at a time. The Gemara says, however, according to this girsa of Rabba, you can't give that answer. Why? Because in this girsa of Rabba, right, what is Rava actually saying? Rava is saying you can wash your entire body, except what? Except one limb. So how do you reconcile that with the lashon of panav yadav raglav? To which the Gemara answers, you can't. And therefore, tiyufta. And therefore, ultimately, those brisos that were quoted before will be a refutation of Rabba's interpretation of Rava. Amar li Rav Yosef la'abaye. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, Rabba mi ka'ovid kishmaitei dirav. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, did Rabba actually conduct himself like Rav? Look at Rashi. Only Rav Yosef la Abaye, Mishum de Godol Abaye, Bebeis Rabba Bar Nachmani. So interestingly enough, why is Rav Yosef asking Abaye this? Abaye grew up in the house of Rabba. Shahayarosh kodim Rav Yosef, Umeis, Hayasholo Rav Yosef, Ech Hayaro Ehu Noik. So often we see in the Gemara that Rav Yosef asked Abaye what Rabba used to do. So did Rabba conduct himself like Rav? Right? Meaning, now both remember again, one more time, Rabba has a very unique interpretation of Rav, like Rav. Did he paskin like Rav? Did he go ahead and wash aver, leaving one aver out? Armale lo yedana maiti boile. Pshita de lo ovid, de ha isosif. See, interestingly enough, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, I don't know what you're talking about. Of course Rabba did not conduct himself like Rav. Why? Because his interpretation of Rav was what? Was refuted. So of course he would not have conducted himself in that way. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is mighty boile. Shita dashas pirchale. So he says, meaning the shita, the position that he just espoused, was uprooted, was negated. To which the Gemara says, Dilma lo shmiele. Well, who's to say, boss, I remember, you know, we read this as just a flowing argument. But who's to say that Rabba ever heard the contradiction, right, post his position? Meaning, maybe as far as Rabba knew, his position was uncontested. And maybe only the stira, according to these brisos, came out later. V'ilo shmiele vaday ovid. But the truth is, if that's the case, that Rabbah would not have heard the contradictions posed to his understanding of Rav, he certainly would have conducted himself like Rav. Why? The Amar Abaye, because Abaye said, Kol mili dimar avit kirav. Because Abaye said that Rabbah conducted himself like Rav in all matters. In all matters. Bar mehani tlas da'avid kishmuel. Oh, says this, we actually had the sugi before. So Abaye paskin like Rav in all situations, except in three cases where he paskin like Shmuel. What were the three cases? Matilin mi beged lebeged, that you could take tzitzis. You could remove tzitzis from one beged and put them on another. Right? Umadlikin miner lener, you can light one Hanukkah candle from the other Hanukkah candle. V'halocha kereb shimin begreira. And ultimately, the halacha follows Reb Shimon with dragging a bench on Shabbos. Reb Shimon is one who says that a darash elam is kapping, right? A malacha for which you do not have intention to do it, so you're not chayiv on Shabbos. You're potter. So again, so Rav holds not like that. Shmuel holds like that, like Reb Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. If Rabbah never heard about the refutation about on his position of Rav, then he certainly would have held like Rav, because he holds like Rav in every case except for the three cases that he paskins like Shmuel. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe kichumre derav ovid, kikule derav lo ovid. Maybe it's not true. Maybe when we say that, bless you, that Rabbah normally paskins like Rav, maybe that's only when in the chumras of Rav. But maybe he doesn't paskin like the kulas of Rav. This, Rav also, would be considered to be what? A kula of Rav. Because Rav is allowing, again, according to Rabbah, Rav is allowing you to go ahead and wash your entire body aver, as long as what? As long as you leave one part of your body unwashed. So Rav also, therefore, according to this conclusion of the Gemara, not that it really matters so much for us, but the point the Gemara is making over here is the truth is, even though Rabbah is the one who quoted the position of Rav, we're actually not sure if Rabbah himself would have held of that position. Either A, because he heard it was refuted, that's one possibility, or B, even if he didn't hear it was refuted, maybe what? Maybe he didn't pass, maybe even though he normally paskin like Rav, that was only in the chumras of Rav, but not in the kulas of Rav. Okay? So the Gemara says the following. Tana Rabbana. Rabbi will say, now we're going to get, you see, here's what's interesting about this entire sugya. This is already our second blot that we're spending on bathing, and we're not exactly clear what the issue is. Right? We know so far that you can't wash your body on Shabbos. That's what we know. You certainly can't heat up water on Shabbos. That's clear, and that we understand why. Right? Either because of Havara or because of Bishul, that's clear. We also know that you can't wash your entire body on Shabbos itself, even with water that was warmed before Shabbos. That we don't know why yet. We know you can't, when we saw the Shulchan Aruch, you can't. We just don't know why. So I think we're going to get into the why. Tana Rabbanan. Merchatz shepakaku nekavav me'erev Shabbos. So what happens? If you have a bathhouse, shepakaku nekavav, look at Rashi for just a moment, it's actually very interesting. Rashi says, shepakaku nekavav shelo yetzi chamimuso. It literally means that you plug up its holes. Now, the way, remember, we actually had this in the Sechas Brachas, right? If you remember again, towards the end of Brachas, we had, the Gemara spoke about the tefillah that you're supposed to say before you go into the bathhouse, because the bathhouse has a certain element of sakana in it. Why? Because these bathhouses were often built on stilts, and they were built on top of pits of fire. That's how, so that you went into the bathhouse, you went for the shvitz, you took your life into your own hands. So pakakuna kavav means they would seal up the vents. You'll see why this is important in just a moment. They would seal up the vents. In fact, I'm going to just take you out of order a little bit. If you see that next Rashi, Rochetz Bo Miyad, see that Rashi? Go into the second line of that Rashi, right after the prayer, it says, Lamed Aleph, Lishna Achrina. Another possibility is, Shepakaku Nekavav, Oso Nekavim Shemerchatz Nischamim Al Yedehem, Sheor Nisekat Nivachutz Mitachtov. Essentially, what you're doing over here is, you're plugging up the vents from which the heat would come in. Or you're preventing the water from any further heating, from getting any hotter. No further heating. So now again, follow this case. So merchat shepakakuna kam erev Shabbos. So essentially what you're doing is on erev Shabbos, you're plugging up the vents, so the water is not going to get any hotter over the course of Shabbos. L'motzai Shabbos, rochetz bo miyad, on motzai Shabbos, you can wash in it immediately. Rashi says, rochetz bo miyad, so we'll get into this sugya. This is actually quite interesting, that under normal circumstances, if malacha is done on Shabbos, if malacha is done on Shabbos, you normally can't get hana'ah from that right after Shabbos, but rather you have to wait b'chdei shiyasa. You have to wait the amount of time that it would have taken to do that malacha after Shabbos. After Shabbos. The logic behind that is that it, this is the word, de-incentivizes, right, malacha on Shabbos, because if you're going to have to wait anyway until after Shabbos, the requisite amount of time, there's no incentive to malacha on Shabbos. So it's not our topic here. We'll spend whole sugyas on this, and it has a lot of ramifications. The most pressing, mamish, like ramifications, you know, the most halakha ramifications of this, is can you, let's say, buy a Dunkin' Donut immediately after Shabbos? Or must you wait the amount of time that it takes to mamish? These are dvarim sha'om de mulum shel olam. I'm saying, you know, just like almost as pressing as pizza right after Pesach. You know, it's these are shilas. So I'm just pointing out to you that it's an interesting ramification of it, because there's a perfect example of an operation malacha that's happening over the course of Shabbos. So can you go in mamish right from shul? You get in your car before you make abdallah and go in chapadonah? Or do you have to? Okay, no, we'll do that sugi later on. I'm figuratively waiting your appetite. So the Gemara says the following. That wasn't a pun, I promise. That wasn't. So the Gemara says, "Poki kunikav of Erev Yomtiv." So if you go ahead and you plug up the vents on Erev Yomtiv, the machar nichnas on Yomtiv itself, you're permitted to go into the bathhouse. Umazia, mazia means you could schwitz. You can schwitz, right? You can take a steam bath. V'yotzei, and then you could leave. U'mishtatef b'bayis achitzon. Now remember, mishtatef b'bayis achitzon. Mishtatef means you could wash yourself. Now that normally refers to pouring water over yourself in the outer chamber. Look at Rashi. U'mishtatef b'bayis achitzon, Rashi says, shelefnei amerchatz. So you can go ahead and you could pour water over yourself in the outer chamber, v'lo besocha amerchatz. But you may not pour water on yourself inside the actual bathhouse. Shelo yomru rochetzu. Because otherwise, if you pour water on yourself in the inner chamber, what's going to happen? People will say that you're bathing. So on Yom Tov, if you plug up the vents, so on Yom Tov itself, you're permitted to go into the bathhouse and shvitz, and then you could pour water in yourself to cool yourself down, but you have to pour that water on the outer chamber, not in the inner chamber, because then it looks like you're bathing. Amarav Yehuda, Maisev Merchatz Shel B'nei Brak. There was an episode in the bathhouse of B'nei Brak. Shepakaku Nekav of Me'erev Yom Tov. And they went ahead and they plugged up the vents on Erev Yom Tov. The Machar Nichnas Rebbe Loza Ben Azayv Rebbe Akiva. V'Hezibo. So on Yom Tov itself, Rebbe Loza Ben Azayv Rebbe Akiva went in to use the Shvitz. V'yotzu V'nishtatfu B'bayi Sechitzom. And they went ahead and they poured water on themselves in the outer chamber. Ela Shechamen Shelo Mechupin B'Nisarim. But interestingly enough, the warm water that was in the I'll call it the tub that they used to pour on themselves was covered with boards. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says mechubin b'nesarim v'lo hayu tzrichin lachush shema nischamamu b'shabbos mechomo shel merchatz. The idea over here is that halacha lemaisa, because there were boards over the pool, over the tub, they knew that it was warmed up before Yom Tov. When the matter came before the Chachamim, Amru Aval Pi She'in Chamin Shalom Mechupin B'Nisarim. So the Chachamim said the truth is you don't even need to have the tub covered with boards. We'll explain what all this means in just a moment. However, Umisharabu Ovrei Avera. But here's where the problem began. So we'll say, here's what we see was happening originally, is that people were using bathhouses on Shabbos and Yom Tov for the purpose of the Shvitz, and they were pouring water on themselves in the outer chamber. So what happened? Misharabu Ovrei Avera, when literally the Ovrei Avera began to, there was a proliferation of Ovrei Avera, Hischilu Le'asor Ambatios Shel Krachim. The rabbis began to go ahead and prohibit the bathhouses of the city. Rashi says over here, Ambatios, Bate Merchatz Gidolim. So an Ambatia is not just a bathhouse, but it's a large bathhouse. But what happened? Metayo Bahen Ve'eno Choshesh. However, what ended up happening was, what you're allowed to do is, you're allowed to walk through them. So apparently, people would spatzir through bathhouses, even not for the purpose of taking a bath. I guess they were large, nice structures. See, even though you can't use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can walk through it. So what's happening over here? So the Gemara says, "My over yavera, what are we talking about? That who's sinning? What are they sinning? What are they doing? What's the story?" So the Gemara says like this. Okay, we'll explain it. Amar Rishim ben Pazi, Amar Rishim ben Levi, Mishum bar Kafra. Betchilu, hayurochtin b'chamas shukum erev Shabbos. In the beginning, people, right, used to go ahead and bathe, right, and wash themselves with hot water that was warmed on Erev Shabbos, right? Rabbi said, remember, technically speaking, there is nothing wrong with bathing on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with it. And in fact, as long as the water is warmed up on Erev Shabbos, it's totally fine. Totally fine. So in the beginning, people would go ahead and wash themselves with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. What ended up happening? Hischilu ha-balonim l'hachim b'Shabbos. Balonim are the bathhouse attendants. The bathhouse attendants would go ahead and heat up water on Shabbos, va'omer me'erev Shabbos. And they would say what? They would say that it was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Now, boss, you have to understand something. Bathhouse is big business, right? You don't just use a bathhouse for free, right? There's business there. So, and says the Gemara, what ended up happening is, whether it's because they had to supply the demand, whatever the situation is, but the balonim, the bathhouse attendants, began warming up water on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, and claiming that the water was warmed up on Shabbos. They are heating up water on Shabbos and claim that the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, the Gemara says, Asru es hachamin v'tiru es hazeah. Therefore, Chazal said, we are going to prohibit bathing in hot water on Shabbos, but you can still shvitz. You can still shvitz. You can go to the steam bath. So what ended up happening? People would go to the bathhouse. They would be bathing with hot water. Now, we'll say, granted, Rashi says, they would be bathing with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. When they would say, oh, no, we're not bathing. We only came here to use the shvitz. Therefore, they went ahead and prohibited even steam bathing. So both I say now, well, let's read the rest. Ve'etiru chametveria. But what was still permitted? Chametveria, the hot springs. Now both say, why were the hot springs permitted? Remember, based on what we said yesterday, we saw Machlokes Rabbi Yossi or the Rabbanon as to is it chame ha'or or is it chame, is it told us chama? Right? So now we said, now each one will still hold its usher. What's interesting is the following, is that what Chazal are suggesting is that the prohibition, or they say the rabbinic gezeira against bathing, only came in situations where it was heated by a man-made fire. But naturally, hot springs were never included in the rabbinic injunction of bathing. So therefore, they still want to handle on to bathing in Chametveria. Va'adayin ha'yirochtzin b'chame'ar, va'om b'chametveria chatznu. Right? But what was happening? People were still bathing in water that was heated by fire, but what? They were claiming, no, it's not by the fire, it's by Chametveria. So asul and Chametveria. Then the rabbis outlawed the use of Chametveria on Shabbos. V'tiru lahen esatzone. But a lot of people, if you really need to wash yourself, you could use cold water. So watch this. So they saw that what? That this last gezeira was not working. Look at Rashi, last Rashi. Very interesting idea. You can't aser everything. You can't answer everything. So you answered, right? Everything. So you answered the bathhouse, right? You answered the schwitz, and now you're answering Chame Tveria. It wasn't going to work. So what happened? Hetiru lahen Chame Tveria. They re-permitted the use of the hot springs of Tveria. V'zeya bimkoma omedes. But the prohibition against using the schwitz still stood. So we'll say what comes out according to this. And this is really the reasoning behind everything. So what really ended up happening is there's an incredible progression. In the beginning, it was permitted to go ahead and bathe with hot water that was warmed up on Erev Shabbos. The problem is the bathhouse attendants, in order to satisfy the demand, probably had to end up heating up more water on Shabbos, but they claimed that it was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Chazal saw this, outlawed bathing in hot water, but still permitted the schwitz. Problem with you going into the bathhouse is that once you're using the schwitz, it's almost inevitable that people are going to end up using the hot water as well, which then undermines the first gezeira. Therefore, I have to outlaw the use of the son of the schwitz as well. Try to do it with Chame Tveria, ultimately because people were exploiting the use of Chame Tveria to allow them to use other water heated by fire. But that gezeira also ultimately didn't work. So Chami Tveri is Mutter. And by the way, this is Salish Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that therefore bathing in hot water, even if it was warmed up on Erev Shabbos, is Aser. Using the Shvitz, even with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, is Aser. But Chami Tveri, technically speaking, is still Mutter. I will say, just so you should also know, the interesting ramification of this, Mishnah Berurah brings out, is the mikvah. Right? So what we do in mikvos, essentially on Erev Shabbos, is we essentially shut off the heater. So whatever water, so really the truth is, for the women, if they're going Shabbos night, it's still warm, because even if you shut off the heater, the water is still warm. All right, so for those men who are going to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, it might be a little bit more chilly, but Aloha Maisa comes from this Gemara. Amar Rava. So what's a very scary Gemara. So Rava says that one who violates a din de Rabbanon, you're permitted to call him a sinner. Kiman, okay, it's good to know. So Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Kiai Tana, like the following Tana. So why? What is it? Like look at Rashi. Kiai Tana. Rashi says the Amar Lael mishischilu ovrei avera hischilu laesor hazeah. So it's interesting is the following, because the lashon of the braisa beforehand was what? When there was a proliferation of ovrei avera. Now, who are the ovrei avera in this case? They were people who were violating a din derabanan of bathing on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you see from here that even someone who violates a derabanan intentionally, right, is also called an avarion. On batios shel krachim, in the bathhouses of large cities, metalban ve'ino choshesh, you can walk through them, you could spatzir through them, ve'ino choshesh, and we're not worried that you're going to go ahead and come to either use to bathe or to shvitz. Amarava dafka krachim. That only refers to the bathhouses of large cities. Aval dekfarim, but a bathhouse of a village, low. Why not? My time. Akiven de zutron nafish havlayu. Since they are small, the heat is very intense. I guess in the larger cities, maybe they had higher ceilings or whatever it was, to be able to walk through it, and not schwitz. In the smaller ones, the concentration, they were much smaller, therefore the concentration of heat was much more. Therefore, once you walk through it, you automatically schwitz. Tana Rabbanon, mischamim adam kineged medura v'yotzi mishtatev pitzonim. So the Bryce teaches the following. A person could go ahead and heat himself by the heat of a fire, and afterwards wash himself in cold water. So interestingly enough, you can't do the reverse, right? You can't go ahead and wash in cold water and then heat yourself by the fire. Why? Because it's as if you are boiling up the water on you now. What Tosfos points out over here is that would fall under the rabbinic prohibition of bathing in hot water. Right, interestingly enough, that bathing in cold water and then warming yourself up with the water on you by the fire, so still this is bathing in warm water. Tanu Rabbanon, Mecham Adam Aluntis, Umanicha al b'nei me'ayim b'shabbos. A person could warm up, Aluntis is like a towel. Rashi says, Tuyula, towel. Right, and Rashi says, V'nirad ki'li beged, shemistafkin bo debechol duchto, karifar. So you can heat up a towel and put it on your stomach on Shabbos. Rashi says, Agabe b'nei me'ayim, Agabe me'ayim, kishuchash b'me'ev. The person has a stomach ache. Mechamim in lo, kli, obeged, umanicha shemomo. So apparently, Talmudic remedy was, I guess, it soothes a person. You have a bad stomach ache. Sorry?
A hot water bottle,
right? You have a bad stomach ache. You put a hot towel on your stomach. Ubilvad, shelo yovi kumkum shamayim chamin, v'yanuchu al b'nei me'ayim. As long as you don't take a kettle with hot water and put it on one stomach. That was obviously, you can't really talk about a kettle that's too hot, right? But the idea would be that you would also take this kettle that's hot, that's warm, and put it, so you shouldn't do that. Why? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ubivashal yovi kumkum shema yishbuchu alav v'nim tzarochetz b'shabes b'chamin." Because then the concern would be that the water in the kettle would spill over, and it would turn out that a person is, so to speak, bathing in hot water on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says it's not really true. But davar zafilu b'chol asurim le'asakana. The Gemara says the truth is one shouldn't even do this during the week because of sakana. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Maybe Adam Kiton Mayim umanicho kineget hamadura. It was an interesting case. A person could bring a jug of water, and put it next to Madura is a flame. Really, Madura means like a bonfire. But in this context, it means a strong flame. So the Gemara says, Lo b'shol shiyachamu, ela b'shol shetafik tzinason. Not to go ahead and heat up the water in a significant way, but what? To take off the chill. Look at Rashi. Lo sheyichamu, lo sheyanicham sham ad sheyichamu, ela shetafik tzinasan, b'miktsasan. So the Gemara says like this. So the Braisa says that if you have a jug of water, right, whether the water is cold or whether the water is simply not hot, you could put it next to a flame in order to go ahead and remove the chill, but you may not go ahead and leave it there until it gets very hot. Rabbi Huda says, Mevia isha pach shal shemen umanicha kineget hamedura. Similarly, a woman could take a jug of oil and put it opposite the flame. Lo bishil sheyivashal, not that it should become cooked, ela bishil sheyivshar. But rather, again, that it just becomes a little bit warm. Take a look at Rashi. Lo bishil sheyivashal, shelo tanichenu sham kidei bishil shetehayat soledespo. So both sides, you can't go ahead and leave the oil there to the point that it cooks up literally until it's yatzol ledespo, but you could leave it there to take off the chill. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, isha sacha yada shemen, or mischamma kineget hamedura. Rav Shimon Gamliel gives a different piece of advice. He says, a woman could smear oil on her hand, and then warm up her hands opposite the fire. Visacha libna katan, ve'ino chosheshes, and she could go ahead and put on, right? She could put on that oil on her small child. Take a look at Rashi. So interesting, Shimon Gamliel is arguing on Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda holds that what? That you could take the jug of oil and you could put it opposite the fire. You can't allow it to cook, but you can allow it to take off the chill. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel apparently doesn't allow that, and he says, no, you can't put the jug of oil there at all. What can you do if you want to heat up the oil a little bit? Let the woman put the oil on her hands and warm her hands by the fire. Iboiluhu. So shemen mahu. So the Gemara now asks, so at the end of the day, what is the status of this shemen? L'tanakama rabba v'rav yosef t'armi t'arvayu l'hetera. Right, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Amr li isura. So the Gemara says the following. So it would depend. So according to Tanakhama, Rabba and Rav Yosef both hold that it's mutter. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok holds that it's aser. Rabba and Rav Yosef da amri the tavayu lehetira. Rabba and Rav Yosef who allow you to put the oil by the fire say the following. Shemen afa pi shayat soledespo mutter. Right? So shemen, even if you put it so close to the fire that it becomes yansol ledespo, it's motor why? Kasaratanakama, shemen ain bo mishum bishul. That there is no prohibition of bishul by shemen. Now, I will say, this is quite fascinating. Why? Here's what's interesting. We know that when it comes to Shabbos, melacha has to be meleches machsheves. Meleches machsheves means it has to be constructive. Constructive means that when you subject a particular item to a malacha, the item is fundamentally different before the malacha, after the malacha, than it was before the malacha. But if, for example, you subject an item to a process and it is not qualitatively or quantitatively, or qualitatively different, that's not a malacha. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that perhaps there is no prohibition of bishul by shemen. Why? Because shemen is no different if you heat it up than if you don't heat it up. Meaning, there's no, let's say contrast it to water, right? Heated water has different properties and different uses than cold water. What the Gemara is suggesting is heated shemen is no different than cold shemen. It's usable without the shemen. Remember, what are they using it for? Right?
It's cold.
No, but it's functionally, it's the same exact thing. That it might feel a little bit nicer. Functionally, there's nothing different about the entity.
You warm up soup, it becomes more...
No, people don't eat cold soup.
People don't put on cold oil.
Not true. They do. That's the chab. They clearly do from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that she could put on the cold oil, then warm herself up afterwards, indicate they were putting on oil cold.
It doesn't change form.
It doesn't... Well, it's not just form. It's also function. It's also function. Because you can have... Water doesn't change form either when you heat it up. Right? But that's not, you're not using the steam. The water that you're heating up that you're using is still the same exact form as the water beforehand. So yeah, part of it is form because we'll see certain ramifications with form, but right now it's even function. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe according to this first opinion, shemen therefore is not subject to the prohibition of bishul because functionality, nothing changes when you heat it up. V'as Rabbi Huda l'meimar, and Rabbi Huda comes along and says, shemen yesh bo mishum bishul. No, shemen does have bishul, v'efshero lo zeh. Hu Bishulo. But Rabbi Huda says that what? That Aloch Lamai says only Asrif Mamish are heating it up Tiatzal Levispo. But to take off the chill, that's not called Bishul. The Asrif Shemin Amila Meimar, Shemin Yeshbo Bishul. Shemin Amila is the most extreme sheet. And he says, no, Shemin is subject to Bishul. Furthermore, Vav Shiro Zil Bishulo. And you don't have to heat up Shemin to the point of Yatzal Levispo in order to be Chayiv, but even what? Even just taking off the chill is Bishul by Shemin. Or as Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is, Bishul looks different ways for different things. So certain things you have to heat up to Yatzal Levispo, and certain things just taking off the chill makes it fundamentally usable, and therefore that's Bishul. Rav Nachum Yitzchok Amar, Lisura. Shemin, Afa Pishenei Yatzal Levispo, Oser. See, he holds, right? So Rav Nachum Yitzchok says, that Shemin, even if you don't heat it up to Yatzal Levispo, it's Oser. Kasover Shemin Yeshbo Mishum Bishul. So we say that Shemin is subject to the laws of Bishul. Vev Shero Zo Bishulo. And ultimately, even just taking off the chill is Bishul. But Asra Bihuda, Lameimar Bihuda comes along and says, Hev Shero Lo Ze Bishulo. No, no, no. Taking off the chill is not Bishul. Vasra Bishulo Lameimar, Shemin Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. Vev Shero Ze Bishulo. See, Marcel, one second. If that's the case, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hairo Tanakama. Rav Shimon Gamliel Tanakama are saying the exact same thing, namely, that Aloha Lemaisa, Shemin is subject to Bishul, and furthermore, your violation of that after you take off the chill. Ika Benayu Kila Achar Yad. The fundamental machlokes is, well, can you do this with a Shinui? Can you do this with a Shinui? So one opinion will say if you do it with Shinui, it's Mutter. Other opinion will say if you do it with Shinui, it's still Aser. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, both say Psak Aloha. Echad Shemin, V'echad Mayim, Yad Soledes Bo Aser. Ein Yad Soledes Bo Mutter. So Rabbi Huda said the name of Shmuel. No, we're not going to distinguish between liquids, right? Both for Shemin, both for oil as well as for water. The halacha is the same. Halacha lemaisa, if you heat it up to the point of Yad Soledes Bo, then that is Aser. But if you only heat it up to less than Yad Soledes Bo, which is considered in halacha like taking away the chill, that is not Aser. The Heichi Dami Yad Soledispo. So both I remember, Yad Soledispo literally means the temperature at which the hand would recoil if you touched it. So the Gemara says, but what's the difficulty with that? The difficulty is that people have different thresholds, right? So how do you measure? So the Gemara gives an interesting threshold. Omerachva kol shekreso sheltinok nichvis. It's the temperature at which literally the stomach of a baby would be burned. Meaning, so when you have infant skin, which is sensitive, it's the temperature at which a baby's skin, which is a more objective shear than the shear at which, I'm sorry? So it's actually being machlokes a poskim as to what it is. So some say 150, some say already 160, others take it down all the way, 115. Right, so some go ahead and have it even higher than 115, 115. Some have lower than 115. I think 115 is the normative shear. The normative shear. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Pam achos nichnasti acha Rabbi lebeis amerchatz. One time I followed Rabbi into the bathhouse. Okay, ubikashti laniach lo pach shel shemen ba'ambati, and Rav Yitzchok says I wanted to put a jug of oil into the bath. Now remember, what does he want to do? He has a jug of oil which is cool, and he wants to just put the jug into the hot bath in order to warm it up. So the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi. Yeah, so fine. So v'amrli, and Rebbe told me, tol b'klisheni v'tein. And Rebbe told me, put your jug of oil into a klisheni. Right? Rashi says, tol min amayim. So Rebbe told me to go ahead and fill up another cup of water from the bath. That's called a klisheni. I will say, in this case, the bath, the tub itself, is called the kli rishon. Right? Which makes sense, because if you think about it, remember as we described before, the bathhouse, right, the tubs are sitting on top of water, on top of fire. So they're literally like the pot that's on top of the fire. So the tub itself is the kli rishon. So now Rebbe told me to go ahead and fill up a cup of water from the tub, which then makes that a kli sheni, and put my jug of oil into that cup. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, "Bikli sheni she itstanenu maat the kli sheni einu mevashal va'acher kach tina pach l'so osokli v'hach ambati shemchem." Okay, fine. So let's see. So v'teim shemamina tzlas. So we learn from this episode three things. Number one, shemamina shemen yeshu mishum bishul. Number one, from the fact that Rebbe didn't allow Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi to put the oil directly in the tub, shows that what? That Shemin is subject to the laws of Bishul. That's number one. Number two, shmamina shne kli sheni einu mevashal. A secondary kli does not have the ability to cook. Right, so I will say the fact that Rebbe told him fill up a cup with water from the tub, make it a klisheni, indicates that klisheni doesn't have the ability to cook. Ushmamina have shero zehu bishulo. Furthermore, they're not familiar that what? That even just taking the chill off the oil would have been cooking, because clearly the oil wouldn't have gone to Yad Soledesbo in the tub, because the tub couldn't have been the temperature of Yad Soledes, otherwise people can't bathe in it. But yet we see from here that even just taking off the chill of oil is bishul. So the Gemara says, Hechi Abitochi, but how are they able to do this? Now, also they're asking a secondary question. How are they able to discuss halacha in the bathhouse? You're permitted to go to think about words of Torah everywhere except the bathroom and the bathhouse. So how are they able to speak Torah in the bathhouse? So maybe they said it in Lashon Chol. I will say, what does Lashon Chol mean? Lashon Chol means in a language other than Hebrew. Right, they didn't use Lashon HaKodesh. Var Abaye, Dvarim Shel Chol, Mutlarim B'Lashon HaKodesh. Shel Kodesh Aslam B'Lashon Chol. But we learn from here that, but you see what? That if you have matters of Kiddusha, even to say them in a non-Lashon HaKodesh Lashon, is still Aslam in the bathhouse. To which the Gemara says, Afrushe Isura Shaini. There's a difference when you're trying to save someone from violating an Isser. That when you're trying to save someone from violating an Isser, you are permitted to speak words of Halacha in the bathhouse itself. So again, to talk Stam Torah, you can. But if I see that someone's going to be in violation, I could stop. Again, I can't go into a whole shir about a whole drasha, but I can tell them, don't do that. Teidu de Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maisa b'tamidosh. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this Teidu tomorrow.